Fedheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings episode 57, Tobacco Especial Coffee. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, broadcast on CigarFederation.com, and of course, broadcast on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks very much for all those girls and guys out there keeping us safe. You guys, as Rob always says, you guys are built to do something we are not. We appreciate you tuning into the show, and hope you're having a chance to relax and maybe enjoy a cigar. I am joined, as always, at least most of the time, by my great co-host, Rob. Rob, you asked, what's going on, brother?
Oh, you know,
We're having a bit of a day, actually. truth be told, I didn't want to start on a sour note, but I think the two of us are having a bit of a day.
It's a good day to call it quits in the middle and
right?
fire up a cigar. And I mean, I don't know about you. I've got coffee, and then I'm going to follow that with a chocolate stout, and I'm going to follow that with some small batch whiskey. So the day is going to get better. It's on an uptick. That's for sure. But no, it's a beautiful day in California. It's going to be in the 70s this weekend, which is kind of crazy. So
it's in the 50s here. And I mean, again, I'm kind of bundled because I'm going to be sitting out here for a couple hours. But and I have my gloves on because it's ridiculously warm. The sun's still out. You can probably hear the birds chirping in the background. It's a beautiful day. I wish for more days like this.
Yeah, early spring. Mm-hmm. Early spring. But no, I mean, things are good, man. Things are good.
So, of course, we're doing a pre-record show, so apologize to our audience that, you know, we can't have that great interaction we normally do. I'll, at this time of the broadcast, I'll be down in sunny Nicaragua, probably on my 45th cigar of the day, and no doubt my second bottle of rum. We're going to be doing a live cigar chat, so that'll be a lot of fun. You guys get to interact with us there, but Robbie and I didn't want you to miss out on sharing our pairings. We kind of have been pretty good about keeping this up on a weekly basis, so... yeah, that's that little preamble. So what are we smoking? Well, Drew State was nice enough to send us these great Tobacco Especials. This is the Negra, which is one of my favorites. I know, you know, people out there are like, ew, infused. Ew, that's so gross. Can't believe you're smoking that. Dude, you know what? When I'm down in Nicaragua, and I know you've talked about this in the past, my breakfast in Nicaragua consists of either a number 9 and a coffee or a Tobacco Especial and a coffee. Now, sometimes I go, you know, between the it's not the natural. What's the non-Negra called? I always forget the name.
I've got one back there. It's like the cafe or something like that. Leche or
Dolce.
Dolce. There you go. There's a few different ones, but yeah, I mean, we're going with the box press that's exclusive to Corona Cigar. It's got that nice little secondary band on there that you can check out.
Stoit.
It's nice. And yeah, cigar. I mean, like you said, it's one of those cigars that really the only time I ever smoke it is when I'm in Nicaragua, because yeah, they're available. It's not the kind of cigar that I usually buy for whatever reason. I don't know why. Every time I smoke them, I think, man, I should buy some of these. And it just, as far as storage and things like that for me, like what I'd like to do is get like just a little, maybe a 20 count or a 25 count desktop humidor and just keep some different infused stuff in there. Because there are some infused cigars that I like. The Nub the Nub Cafe series is pretty good.
Yep.
I'm sure there's...
Acetoast.
I'm blanking on the other ones.
You know, I actually did that, Robbie. I got a little, you know, I think it was a little 25 count. And I think I actually won it at some thing. And I immediately went, you know what this would be really good for is a little desktop for some infused stuff, because you know you don't want to keep your infused stuff with your regular stuff because you can get flavor migration. And I do have, I think I've got like 15-20 infused cigars just when I'm in the mood, when I want to do some funky pairing or whatever. And you know, thanks to Drew Estate for sending out the blogger package, which included these cigars along with a heck of a lot of other great stuff. The Hoya de Nicaragua Cuatro Cinco, which, man, I love that cigar so much. And, of course, a bunch of Norteños, which, forget about it.
Yeah, that's a good stick.
Good stick.
Yeah, lots of goodies in there. But I think for today's purposes, we're focusing pretty much on this tobacco. I'm hoping that you have the specs of this cigar pulled up, because I don't.
I do, because, you know me, I'm a huge nerd. So the entire Corona cigar line is a 6x50, they're all Toro 6x50, which is an interesting size. I know that I've listened to a lot of cigar shows and they talk about in the United States, the 6x50 Toro is usually a big seller. It's kind of like I think it might have actually surpassed the Robusto as the big seller. At any rate, They're all box press. Now, what's cool is that each of them are box pressed in a slightly different way. So the Tabaco Especiales are a full box press. You can see it's like a full-on box press, whereas the Undercrown and I think the Liga Privada number 9 were more of a softer box press. So still get that box press, but not as, you know, not as square.
I feel like you have it backwards.
Do I?
Yeah, because the the number 9 was pretty square. And it had more – this is more of a soft – if you can see that, it's definitely pressed, but it's more of a soft press. The and I don't mean to contradict you. I apologize.
No, no, I'm sure I have no idea.
I think you had them exactly backwards.
Nice.
But yeah, the number 9, which I reviewed for Cigar Federation, and I did like that size, and the box press was really interesting.
We did a group review of that.
We did. That's right.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, but that cigar definitely had some edges to it.
That's true.
This is a much softer, softer press on these.
So there you go, guys. Disregard everything that comes out of my mouth. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But what I do know what I'm talking about is that I really enjoy this cigar with, like I said, this is, for me, the ultimate breakfast stick, especially when I'm down. Cigars just taste better down in Nicaragua. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a little bit weird, but they do.
They do. It's just how it is. So we're doing some cool pairings today. You're going with more traditional pairings. I'm going with more funky pairings. So in the spirit of coffee, 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 what is that? That's right. That's my carafe. Oh, man, it smells fantastic. So I've got some Mexican coffee here. So it's from Mexico. Girlfriend and I were down in Mexico back in March, brought back some Mexican coffee. So it's spicy, and you can smell it. Like, it's got that great spicy cinnamon. In the theme of coffee, which is the question mark, of course, and a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing, the Japanese whiskey, the Nikka coffee malt. Now, not to be confused with actual coffee, that's this type of still that was made by a very famous Irishman. Coffee is his last name. And last but not least, I got highly recommended this from my local cool shop by Sean. He's the local beer guy there. It's from Eight Wired Brewing Company, who I know nothing about, and I'll have to look up. But they're from New Zealand. So that's kind of cool. And this is a double coffee brown ale. And I was kind of thinking, because the Tabaco Especial is not a full in-your-face cigar. Like, I would definitely put it in the medium minus category, and I wasn't looking to have a porter. Like, I thought porter stouts or coffee, but that's going to be too much for this cigar.
Well, we're going to find out.
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah, because I'm going with a stout. I'm going with kind of like an everyman type of pairing. I figured this is kind of an everyman type of cigar. And it really is a good smoke once you get past that cloying sweetness at the beginning. And that does fade after, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Can I be a huge jerk and say I'm just not I love the cigar, and I'm just not a fan of the sweet caps, and I'd love to see this cigar. I know Johnny Brooks talked about the naturals, and the naturals come, I think it's the dirt comes as a non-sweetened cap, but I'd love to see the Tabaco Especiales without the sweetened cap.
Yeah, I do kind of – I'm torn between it, because it's really, really sweet at the beginning. But at this point in the cigar here, I've already ashed once, yep. Once or twice actually. So, I mean, I'm about an inch, maybe an inch and a half in, and I still get a little bit of that sweetness on the lips. Once it hits your lips, it's so good. I still get a little bit of that. And I kind of like it. I like it when it's just lingering there, but when it's – at first, it's like – wow, this is a sweet cap. Yeah. And, but once you get past that, there's like it's actually a really good cigar. And the one that is my favorite, and actually don't have access to it right now, is the Tabaco Especial Red Eye.
Oh, that's, forget about it.
That's limited to maybe Cigars International or something like that.
And that's a Lancero, isn't it?
Negative. It's negative? I think it's just a Robusto. But it might be like a fat Robusto, like a 55 or something like that. It's a bigger ring gauge. But it's got a little shaggy foot on it, and it's got a bit deeper flavors. It might have a different wrapper or something. I don't know the specs on the cigar as far as wrapper, binder, filler, and things like that. I haven't looked for that one in particular. But that does have a little bit more depth of flavor for me. But the point that I'm making is this isn't just a super sweet cigar. It's got that sweet cap, so you get that at the beginning. Once that kind of melts away, I mean, you're left with a cigar that's got some layers. And we're going to test those layers out today, because at least with my pairings, I went with just a basic Keurig donut shop original donut shop coffee. I don't even know who makes this. I get it at Costco, and like they get like 90 of them in there. So it's just a real basic coffee. Elijah Craig, small batch.
Oh yeah.
So like a $25 bottle of bourbon.
Hell yeah.
And a pretty basic chocolate stout from Rogue.
Oh, I love that chocolate stout.
Going with that, I figure I didn't want to get too fancy with what I was going with. I mean, but you're a little more fancy.
Stupid
than I am,
surgeon so. And his fancy pairings. God, I
fancy
hate that
pants.
Guy so much.
So anyway, that's where we are. I've already been sipping on the coffee. So whenever you're ready to get started, I'm ready.
I want to talk before we get into our pairings. I want to talk a little bit about because I'm going to be down there and I'm going to be super jacked. And I've been following Facebook. I'm sure you've been following Facebook. All the guys that are down there right now, they're taking selfies every 10 seconds. And you know, I'm jealous. Even though I'm going to be down there, I'm jealous because I know what that feeling is, and you're just so jacked and so pumped. It's going to be my fourth trip, and I'm going to be just as excited as the first trip. But one of the things you don't get to see there is you don't get to see the super special secret sauce of how they do the infusion. I've seen a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. I've seen a lot of behind-the-curtain stuff that I think only a very handful of people have seen there. But they've never revealed that curtain. That curtain has remained tightly shut. And I tell you what, have you ever like even pointed your nose towards the room? Because like you can see three guys in the background that are just like, hey, what do you do? Like they're just ready to jump on you.
Don't go near there.
Don't go near there.
Don't go near there.
There's some big dudes at that factory too.
Yeah. You that room. No one's invited into that room. And I mean, I don't know what they've got going on in there, but
I have my thoughts.
It's I really have no concept or thought like what really. And we're talking about obviously about infused cigars. And when it comes to infused cigars for me, there's a handful that I like, and there's a bunch that I've never tried. I've never smoked an acid.
Oh, really?
Never smoked one, not once. And
sounds like we need to do an acid show.
There was there was a big push to get me to smoke an acid at on the safari trip last year. I'm not going this year, but the trip last year, everybody was pushing to get me to smoke one. And there was one in particular that they were going to have me smoke. And I can't remember which one it was, because there's a bunch of different ones. And it was the one that sounded the best to me. I don't know if it was the tea-infused one, or I can't remember what it was called. But it never did come to fruition, and I'm kind of okay with that. But yeah, I mean, Safari Man, it's an awesome trip. I've been down twice, once with a media group, with people that I didn't know, and once with the Cigar Federation group with everybody that I knew for the most part. And if I didn't know them, I knew them by the end of the trip.
Yeah.
And they were two very different experiences.
Yeah.
So one thing I will say, if you are going to go, definitely go with a group of people that you know. You get a lot more out of it. It's a lot more fun to share it with some buddies. It's a lot of fun. I'm jealous. I wish I was going this year.
I wish you were going too, seriously. In all sincerity, show aside, you know, you and I have become really good friends, and it was super disheartening for me personally to know that you weren't going down, because I knew that you and I would have just been up to no good.
Yeah, it would have been fun.
It would have been fun. So maybe in the future we can, you know, who knows?
We'll figure it out. Absolutely. We'll figure it out. But you guys are gonna have a blast. And hopefully you'll do the zip lining again, because that was a blast, and all that stuff. So, yeah, try to get into the infusing room. Take some pictures. Maybe we'll see. Break some news.
Nothing like zip lining through a Nicaraguan forest on a rickety, wiry what?
No, they were legit, man. They were legit. They did not screw around with the setup up there. And it's so funny. We were – Jimmy and Tripp and I were sitting in the back of the bus on the way up there, and we were just totally psyching ourselves out. And it takes like an hour to get up there.
Yep.
And you finally get in. And to me, it was like I was walking into Endor. You know, I was climbing up and I was getting in the Ewok village. So I was kind of down to do it. And they get you real easy, right? The first jump, you're only like 15 feet off the ground and it's not that far. And then the second one's not that far. You're like, oh, this is easy. And by the time you're like, yeah, whatever, I'm a pro, then it's like, okay, I can't see where this one ends, you know, because you could jump from station to station, and it's just one of those, you going, and then the trees part, and you're like, oh God, I'm like 500 feet off the ground, or it's probably like 100, but still, it feels crazy. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Definitely worth the investment to go. I don't know what the tickets cost, are like $600?
Yeah,
or something like that.
think it's $100 less if you're a CRA member, which is a pretty good deal. I mean, forget about it. I'm sure that I smoke that much in product alone, and I know I drink that much in rum alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the product. And you were saying that you roll out of bed and do the number nine. I'm more of a T52 guy or first thing in the morning.
That's kind of my lunch. That's weird because that's kind of my lunchtime cigar. I don't know.
For some reason, for me in the morning, the number nine's too spicy. But that T52, it's just so chewy, and it's like having steak and eggs for breakfast, you know? Like, I feel like a champ after you have that. But I do throw back some of the Tabac. The Tabac is usually my second cigar because I'll have the T52 while you're getting ready in the morning and kind of screwing around and walking around, getting your first cup of coffee, and then you sit down to breakfast. That's when I fire up the Tabac.
Just a reminder to audience that you are tuned in, unfortunately, a pre-recorded show, but we appreciate you tuning in anyways to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 57, Tabaco Special Coffee, broadcast on CigarFederation.com and rebroadcast on the Armed Forces Radio Network, heard around the world, and of course on every podcast app. I've noticed, we just had Pete Johnson on, so we're recording on the Friday, we just had Pete Johnson on, and holy crap! The podcast downloads. I was looking at the numbers this morning because, you know, I'm kind of an analytical guy. And I know we're way off topic, but it's my show and whatever. The analytics were just off the charts. And this was like at 9 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, what is going on? And then I remembered, oh, yeah, of course, we had Pete Johnson from Tatuaje on. That's what's going on. It's like when we had JD on, just podcast went crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking at the YouTube. Looking at them YouTubes. And that show already has more views, and it hasn't even been 24 hours yet, has more views than any other show that we've done this year, anyway.
A quick shout-out, because we're talking about the IPCPR, and I was going back to our IPCPR coverage, and man, there are some interviews that we did at the IPCPR, and the views on those is just insane. I was going back and looking at our podcast coverage, too, and it was just nuts. People were just eating that content up, so I'm really jacked to do that again.
Well, that's what happens when you provide the best video IPCPR coverage in the world.
In the world.
And
Gauntlet is thrown.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable saying that we provide the best video coverage of IPCPR. And we don't really like to toot our own horns. And I think, John, you and I talked about this. We should probably toot them a little bit more because we do work hard. And, we might have faces made for radio, but then we can't do anything about that.
Can't do anything about that.
That coverage, that the quality that you bring from a camera standpoint and the equipment that we've got to work with,
Mad interview skills.
It doesn't make me a good interviewer, but at least everything looks crystal clear when we do it. Yeah, and I'm excited to see what we can do this year. But dude, let's jump in. My coffee's getting cold.
I've been sipping away, so I'm doing the Mexican coffee, and if you haven't had Mexican coffee before, oh, buddy, I love Mexican coffee. It's just got that, I'm drinking it black because you got that perfect balance. It's got a little bit of sugar in it. That's how they blend it. It's got, and I don't know what spice it would be. Like, it's not a really hot spice. It's a very light pepper and then some cinnamon and probably a little bit of nutmeg. And it's just so perfect. And it goes, I mean, I knew it was going to go well with this cigar, but I'll tell you what, I got to smuggle some of this down to Nicaragua and maybe try some out. But no, this is good. Coffee and the Tabaco Especial is a no-brainer. Love the Nicaraguan coffee, but this Mexican coffee is going really well.
Yeah, and and this was kind of the reason that I picked some of the stuff that I did. Again, original donut shop, coffee, Keurig, K-Cup, whatever the hell. again, I don't know who makes this. And I think it's just like Keurig brand. I have no idea.
Probably is.
It's just a basic cup of coffee. It's nothing special. It's a medium roast. So it's not too robust in flavor, but it's not too light. I drink it black. I drink basically all my coffee black unless I'm in a mood for something else. And some of the best coffee that I've ever had is the coffee that they have at the Joya de Nicaragua factory.
Oh, forget about it.
I remember when we were down there the first time and Jose Blanco was still with Joya. And we were doing a little blending seminar test quiz thing that Jose put us on. And he and I went back, and they had a little area, and they had a person back there serving coffee and sodas and things, you know, to help cleanse your palate and that kind of stuff. And I got a coffee, and he's like, "Oh, do you want, you know, cream and sugar?" I was like, "No, I'll just take it black." And he's like, "Wow, you're kind of," he's like, "That's crazy for folks to come and drink it black, because it is pretty strong, but a lot of flavor." This, very basic. It's like when you're at a hotel and you're getting the buffet breakfast and you get a cup of coffee. That's what it is. It's a restaurant cup of coffee, just a basic cup.
Steak and eggs.
Yeah, anybody can drink this. It's not too strong. It's not too light. Whatever. It is what it is. And I knew this pairing was going to be fine, and it's great, actually. it's bringing out some spicy notes in the cigar. The cigar is actually a little bit spicier than I remember.
Yeah, it started out spicy for me too, and it settled down a little bit, kind of moved past that sweet cap. But I don't recall that. I don't remember that spiciness there, so that shows you how long it's been since, maybe it's been a year since I've last smoked one of these. I'm kind of getting into the, maybe finishing up the first third here, and it does evolve. I mean, like I said, I think a lot of people might overlook because it's infused cigars, and I, you know, for me, obviously as a reviewer, we smoke what we're given and we like it. But I think as a just a general human being, I enjoy trying stuff that's out of my comfort zone. And the tobacco, when I tried it, was out of my comfort zone, and I loved it. So, you know, I would say to people who maybe have thumbed their nose up at an infused cigar and haven't tried it, try it out. I mean, you might not like it, but whatever, man. It's like 20 minutes of your life. Try it out.
You know, what's funny to me is when you go down to – and we keep going to Safari because now that's where my head is. And you're down on this trip, and these guys, these are hardcore cigar guys. You're not crazy. Taking a trip down to Nicaragua with a bunch of dudes unless you're really into cigars and you want to see that process. I'm telling you, it will change your cigar smoking life. You will never look at a cigar the same way. But that's a story for another time. And these guys who are down there and they're smoking the T52s and the 9s and, you know, every day for us this last year, and I think they're still doing this, they open up a special box of cigars. So one day it's a Feral Flying Pig, the next day it's the L40 or what have you. And these guys are jacked to smoke those cigars because that's what they want to smoke and that's what they smoke at home. But people are still reaching for the Tabox when they're down there.
Yep.
I mean, you have access to anything that Hoya, for the most part, Hoya and Drew Estate make. There's boxes of cigars everywhere. You can pick up and smoke whatever you want. And people still reach for these, which I think is interesting. You know, I mean, they won't talk about it. It's like a guilty pleasure almost.
Yeah.
It's like go ahead.
Never mind. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say, obviously beyond the Drew Estate product, you get to smoke all the Hoya product too. And I certainly smoke my share of the Dark Antonios. That's kind of like my dessert cigar.
That's those Antonios, man. The 1970 and the Dark Corojo. Oh. Those things will kick you in the gut.
They slap you. I mean, that's if you want. This is going to be a little weird, but if you want to get things going in the morning, you light up one of those Dark Antonios when you're down in Nicaragua, and you're doing well for the rest of the day. Let me tell you that.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'm. Those are usually the evening cigar for me.
Yeah.
And that's another cigar that is really good, but I don't smoke that often. The one that I fired up when I was down there is the now I can't think of what it's called, but it's got half of the
it's got the half and half with the wrappers.
Yeah, the Hoya.
I always forget the name of it. I'm so embarrassed, but like I smoke it all the time when I'm down
there. I can't think of what it's called either off the top of my head. We'll have to look. But the Lancero in that is nice. That's a nice smoke. So I think we can easily say that the coffee pairing, and this is kind of why we're rambling because it wasn't too much to talk about this pairing. No. It's simple. It's perfect. It works out really, really well. The coffee for me, my coffee isn't doing anything special, but the pairing is still great. It makes me feel like it's about 10 in the morning, which it's not, but it feels like it is.
Yeah, I say if you're a coffee smoker, is there such a thing? If you're a coffee drinker, you enjoy coffee, you enjoy cigars, try a Tobacco Especial, either the Dolce or the Negro with a coffee, because that's what it's made for. I mean, we talk about pairings. I know that was what they had in mind when they designed that cigar, because that really just goes naturally with a coffee, whether you're having it in the morning, whether you're having it in the afternoon. It's a no-brainer. And I think, like Robbie said, it's not going to change your palate. It's not going to light any fireworks in terms of pairing notes, but it just goes well together. It's a perfect complementary beverage.
Yeah, absolutely. I could take this. You got a 7 a.m. tee off and fire one of these up on the front nine. Maybe go with a smaller Vitola and just, you know, fire it up on the front three or four, and then move on to something else. But definitely a good morning cigar, absolutely.
Before we get into our second pairing here, Robbie, have you been down to the Corona Cigars, any of their locations down in Orlando?
I have not. I haven't spent a whole lot of time in Miami in my life. Logan and I, before our safari trip last year, were down there for the day. We didn't really visit too many. We didn't visit any shops, for that matter. So no, I haven't been.
I've been down there a couple times actually. I think I want to say a minimum of two times, maybe even three times. I was down there for Disney World twice, and as a part of that, I just kind of naturally go down to the shop, and it just so happened, not on purpose, I swear, that Drew Estate was having an event down there at the same time. And I got to say, all of Jeff's stores are awesome, and the amount of liquor that they have available for pouring will actually surprise you. I started out asking for just, you know, normal run-of-the-mill bourbon, and then I started going for some top shelf just to see if they have it. They have it. And they had a whole bunch of really cool whiskey and scotch that I did not expect them to have. It's an experience. And the year before I was down, Coop was there at the same time, so that was a lot of fun. I got to hang with Coop. And if you're in the area, you got to stop by one of the stores. I mean, beyond the fact you can get these exclusives, they have a ton of product. It's a cigar mecca for sure.
Absolutely. I've heard nothing but good things, but like I said, I haven't been there. Did a quick little search here. The Hoya that we were talking about is the Cabaneta.
And I don't know how
I couldn't remember that. But it's
the number 66 Cabaneta?
It's not. It's just the Cabaneta series.
Just Cabaneta? Okay.
And, I mean, each size may be called something different. Yeah, they are. I mean, well, no, they don't have like a – I had the Lancero. But it's got – I had it backwards. It's got the Nicaraguan Habano Criollo on the cap. And right at the band, it switches to Ecuadorian Connecticut shade. So, very interesting cigar that, for whatever reason, doesn't get... they have a Perfecto Gordo. I've never seen that one before. Almost looks like a flying pig size without the cap. But, that's a cigar that doesn't get a lot of play for whatever reason, but it's a good smoke. Another one of those things that you smoke when you're down there and you've got access to it.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Whether that's your seventh cigar of the day or 13th cigar of the day, it's pretty enjoyable. You're tuned in to Sharing Our Pairings episode 57, Tobacco Special, coffee, broadcast on CigarFederation.com. Of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network listeners out there, we appreciate you guys. That was a bit of a run-on, but I appreciate you guys tuning in. And, of course, all our podcast listeners out there in droves. I was checking the stats today. We've got listeners from Indonesia, France, Germany, Sweden, Belgium, everywhere it seems in the world people listening. Of course, we've got people tuning in from Nicaragua. We've got people tuning in from the Dominican. Wherever you are in the world, we appreciate it. If you guys want to drop us a line, please do so. John@CigarFederation.com, Rob@CigarFederation.com. And if you're listening through iTunes, take a moment and write a review. We get sort of ranked based on the amount of reviews. Now, we've 5-star rating, which I think Logan was saying that we're the highest ranked cigar podcast on iTunes, but the only way that we can keep that up is by your guys' participation. So if you got a moment to do that, we certainly appreciate that. And we're talking about pairings here, Tobacco Special.
So what are we jumping into next? Because I've got the chocolate stout and the bourbon.
I would say whiskey second, because I'm kind of looking at the strength of these beverages, and I'm thinking I'm going with the coffee brown ale last, and I'm thinking the whiskey is going to be a lot more delicate than that brown ale.
Okay, I'm on board then. I'll start because I don't have a ton of information on mine. Did some searches, and it's funny, man. It depends. It really depends on the parent company of the bourbon that you're looking for information on as to whether you're going to find any real information on it or not. as I said, I'm going with the Elijah Craig small batch, and this I was just looking, they no longer have an age statement on this. It used to be the age statement used to be 12 years.
Yep.
It looks like now it's more of a mixture bottled exclusively from bourbon between 8 and 12. So and like we've been seeing a lot of that, we've talked about that a lot on the show, and John, you can talk about it more intelligently than I can, but just for the purposes of today's show, this is like a well bourbon. It's $25 a bottle, give or take.
It's so inexpensive.
And it's actually really good. It reminds me a lot of, excuse me, of Booker's. That comes out of Buffalo Trace.
Yes. I'm just going to agree with you. I don't actually know.
I don't know off the top of my head either, but it's Booker's and Basil Hayden's and Baker's even. They all come out of the same distillery, and I can't off the top of my head think of which one it is. I think it's Buffalo Trace, but I may be wrong. anyway, and Booker's, that runs $70, $80 a bottle. This is 24, so it's kind of like a poor man's a Booker's, if you will. Has a little bit more of a spice to it. like I said, there's not a lot of information on here. It's named for Reverend Elijah Craig, the man who discovered the method for making true Kentucky bourbon when he stored his wares in barrels that had been charred in fire charred. But that's really all that they tell me. They don't give me a whole lot of info. The small batch was first introduced in 1986, before the term small batched was ever popularized. So they're like the original small batch. But everybody says they're the original. On this, tasting notes are not giving me any, so I'm just going to tell you what I get. I mean, on the nose, spicy, definitely spicy on the nose. But you get a little bit of that sweetness in there as well. But you can, that alcohol, it's alcohol heavy. It's not the smoothest. I mean, like I said, you're paying $24 for a bottle.
Yep.
So you're not breaking the bank. But anyway, I'm going to get into this. What and you're going on the opposite end. You're highfalutin today.
Well, kind of, but not really. I'm going with the Japanese whiskey, the Nikka coffee malt. Now, the coffee still is really well known in the sort of grain whiskey market. But what they've done, Nikka has taken this grain still and they've used it for Scotch whiskey. Well, it's not Scotch, but Scotch style whiskey production. So it's still what you consider a single malt, but they've done it with a what's typically used for a grain whiskey. And it produces a really interesting spirit. And we featured it on the show, I think, back with Japanese Pairing 1.0. Make sure to check that out on our YouTube channel. And it's kind of in the same vein of what you're talking about. So it's kind of funny because we're on a little bit of opposite ends of the spectrum, but we're ending up in the same area because this is very spicy on the nose. It's got some fruity character. You know, it's got a little bit of vanilla. And I've been having some sips, and it kind of hits you with a little bit of pepper spice up front. And then you get this wonderful little bit of fruity notes and then some sweetness. It's very delicate. You know, you would think, based on the description, it would be very in your face, but it's quite delicate, especially, you know, you compare it to scotches. It's very delicate. And this is kind of one of those ones where it's remarkably approachable on price. It's 45% ABV, which, you know, I'm a big fan of. And I think it's working really well, which I kind of wasn't sure how this whiskey was going to pair with the cigar because this, you know, I wouldn't really think this cigar is good to pair with this particular type of whiskey, but it's actually good. It's very contrasting and complementing kind of all at once.
What's interesting for me is it brings out some earthy flavors in the whiskey that or the bourbon that I'm not used to. It almost dirties it up a little bit. And that sweetness from the cap, it's still there halfway through. I still get a little bit of that sweetness in the lips. it brings out that spice as well. So this plays, it almost has a cask strength feel to it with the sweetness from the cigar. It's making the flavors from the Elijah Craig almost a bit, I don't want to say harsh because that's not what I mean, but you know how when you sip on something that's cask strength, you don't put any water in it,
you're
sipping
it a little bit.
Yeah, it's got a little bit more of a bite to it. That's a good way to put it. It still goes down real smooth, and it's still easy to drink, but it brings it to a kind of a new level of intensity almost. And I'm looking through, some reviews of this Elijah Craig, and I'm definitely drinking one of the newer bottles where this. Where this barrel is, it used to say 12 years,
yep.
Right there in the middle.
Now, just talking about that, sorry to cut you off there, Robbie, but
right.
I think the reason for that is they had some kind of incident at one of their distillery. I think it was about 4 or 5 months ago, and I think they had a fire and they lost a ton of product, and I think that's part of the reason why they've had to switch away from some of the longer age statement stuff, which is disappointing because we've had that 12-year, and that 12-year was probably the best value bourbon in the market, bar none.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye out for it now, actually. I hadn't really thought about even looking for it with the 12 on there. The press release that I saw that was talking about the new bottle and without the age statement was just from this earlier this year, I believe. So it's from 2000, or maybe it was 2015. Not exactly sure, but it's a relatively recent change. So yeah, and it's got some really high reviews. For the price point, it's tough to beat. The pairing, it's not great, but it's kind of what I expected. I wanted a bourbon that had, excuse me, a bit more spice to it. I didn't want anything that was too sweet. So this made sense for me. I've got a few regular whiskeys in my rotation. I was thinking about maybe going with Bullet, but Bullet's a bit sweeter than this. So for me, I think this pairing is exactly what I wanted. If I'm sitting at a barbecue or if I'm sitting down in Nicaragua and making this pairing, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
This pairing actually makes me want to sit down with that Elijah Craig 12 side by side with this Nikka coffee malt because I feel like they have a ton of characteristics that overlap, and it's kind of surprising me because it does have that bourbon, corn, spiciness to it, which you don't really get in a lot of, you know, Scotch-style whiskeys by far, but it immediately gives way to the sweetness, so you get like this perfect match of spicy sweet, and it's, again, it's really good with the cigar, which I wasn't quite sold on. I didn't think it'd work well. This is good. This is surprisingly good.
I'm right on board with that. although it's how I expected. It was the way I expected the pairing because I have smoked the cigar before and have had this bourbon before. So I figured, I mean, obviously I've had it because it's halfway gone. But I was anticipating that the flavor profiles would work together. And for once, I was actually right. You know, it does, like I say, it does bring out some earthiness, some extra earthiness in the bourbon that I don't always expect from it. But that's almost a welcome surprise for me.
Yeah, I'm getting into the halfway point of the Tabaco Especial Negra, and I'm finding that the sweet cap's still there. Obviously, it's got a little bit of influence still. But the cigar body has stepped up. So there's not a lot of spiciness, but there is some sweetness coming from the tobacco. There is a little bit of earthiness, and I don't know if that's from the whiskey bringing that out or that's just in the cigar because I am doing a pairing. It's tough to tell. But the cigar does evolve as you smoke it, and it's nice because it's not just a one-note coffee-infused cigar, and that's all you're tasting. It does evolve. Like you said at the beginning, it is a pretty decent blend on its own, and even if you took away some of the infusion and even if you took away the sweet cap, you'd still be left with what's a pretty good blend.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, from from the standpoint of complexity and transitions and things like that, that's there. It's not there in the same level that you're going to find in other cigars because, for obvious reasons, you're picking this cigar up to have with a cup of coffee, have it with breakfast, or whatever, and that you're going for that sweetened kind of coffee flavor that you're going to get from it. And like you said, the sweet cap halfway through, it's still there. It's maybe 10% of what it was at the beginning.
Yeah.
But it dies out pretty quick. It's almost like when, say, you pop a piece of bubble gum or something, like a, I don't know, Hubba Bubba or something, if they still make that. And the flavor would die away so fast. Like it would be grape, and it's grape flavor for the first 5 minutes, and then it's just like it kind of is the essence of grape. So it's like that. I mean, you get that flavor blast of sweet coffee at the beginning. But then after a few minutes, it's just a ghost of what it was, but it's still there. It's far more pleasant. but yeah, I'm a bit impressed that we can go from coffee, black coffee, to bourbon. And the pairings are still good.
Yeah. I think talking about the blend and you know, I think your pairings are a little bit more on point in terms of the marketing because, you know, this is a cigar that isn't marketed towards cigar aficionados. It's marketed towards the mass market of cigar audience. And, you know, we've talked about this on the show and we've talked about it in reviews that, we kind of are in the classified cigar geek, cigar aficionado category, where, you know, we like to smoke Lanceros, we like to smoke ultra premium cigars, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a very small segment of the market. That's like 3 to 5% of the overall cigar market. The other 85%, 95% of that cigar market is people who are buying acids and people who are buying tobacco specials. And they're going out and smoking two or three of those. And that's the cigar. Like, they might only buy one type of cigar, and it might be the Tabaco Especial. That's the only cigar they smoke because that's what they smoke. They're not talking about hints of nutmeg and bourbon, and, you know, they're not talking about nuances of flavor. They just smoke it because they enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. trying to pull up the information here on the cigar. It's got a broadleaf wrapper on it.
Which is remarkable because their broadleaf is not cheap, and in the way that the Drew Estate processes their broadleaf, and, you know, this is almost certainly not a three-year-age broadleaf like they have in the number nine, but still, broadleaf's not cheap.
It's Sumatra binder and Nicaraguan Criollo filler leaves. So.
So I bet a lot of the sweetness and spiciness is coming from that Sumatra binder, because that's what I tend to get out of a Sumatra. Is
I'm a little bit stunned that this has a broadleaf wrapper on it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have called that. It's because it's a very subdued broadleaf.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
When you're smoking broadleaf, you know it. Usually. I mean, for the most part, broadleaf, it's not a shy leaf. it's got intense flavor to it, and to just now realize, I've smoked a handful of these and just now realizing that it's got a broadleaf wrapper. It doesn't even really look like it. It doesn't have that rugged look to it. So I don't know. But yeah, I think you're right that Sumatra is, that makes more sense.
Check out that smoke production. Pretty standard for Drew Estate cigars. Somebody might call the fire department here and talk about my house being on fire. You are tuned in to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 57, Tabaco Especial Coffee, broadcast on CigarFederation.com. Podcast apps all around the world, including the iTunes store. You can subscribe and throw us a review. We'd appreciate it. And, of course, our friends and the people keeping us safe in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope you have a chance to sit down, enjoy a cigar, relax, chill out, have a good laugh, laugh at our ridiculousness. We certainly appreciate you keeping us safe. It's probably time to get into our last beverage, and you know, the pairings have been so good so far. It makes me worry for this last pairing. It really does.
the transition, oddly enough, from coffee to bourbon wasn't that tough for my palate. This one is going to be. I almost feel like we should have gone with the beer second.
Yeah,
just maybe. To go from coffee to beer, and I might even switch back to the coffee for a couple of sips just to kind of clear things out.
So, as I was talking about, I'm smoking. I did it twice, and I'm not even drinking that much, guys. I am drinking the 8-Wired Brewing Company Double Coffee Brown Ale from New Zealand. A little bit about 8-Wired. I don't think I've had any of their stuff before, but they say on their website, which is 8wired.co.nz, which is, of course, New Zealand. They say, for all you non-New Zealander, the number 8 wire is specific gauge of wire originally used for electric fencing, and in New England, it's used for much more widespread than that. Kiwis have used it to fix just about anything, from cupboards to cars, because, well, it was readily available. And they feel like that fits their company spec pretty well. So they don't have the resources, the abilities to run their own brewery, so they make do with what they have. And what they have is ingenuity. So that's what 8-Wired is all about, talking about the double, they call it the C4 Double Coffee Brown Ale on their website, which is interesting. So it's 8 ABV and 50 IBUs, which actually doesn't surprise me, because when I nose it, I'm getting a ton of hoppiness. And then I read the hops on this, and I'll talk about the description, but they say it's got Pacific Jade, New Zealand Cascade, and Pacifica. And I think I'm getting some of those Cascade hops on the nose, because it's got that sort of green hoppiness to it. These Gladfield Pale hops, Crystal hops, Munich, caramel, chocolate notes. That's a lot of malt. And then they even list the yeast. Kudos to you guys for listing all this information. I love it when breweries list all this. Makes my life so much easier. They use Y Yeast 1272 American Ale number 2. And then they have something I've never seen before, which is SRM18. Quick little bit about the coffee. I know I'm kind of running out the mouth here. It is a hoppy brown ale that complements both the roastery and fruity aspects of coffee without putting up too much of a fight. The coffee itself is selected in collaboration with Christ Church, which is a city institution, C4 Coffee, and consists mainly of lightly roasted, delicate, and floral Ethiopian beans. I love Ethiopian beans, so I'm looking forward to taking a couple sips of this, and I really hope that it pairs well. What are you drinking there, Robbie?
Let's see. I've got the camera locked on yours, and I'm just looking something up here really quick. Yeah, the SRM is the color.
Ah, okay.
So that's SRM.
Let me hold that up then, so you can see.
It's kind of an amber brown. I wasn't looking, but
yeah, definitely looks like an amber brown. Pretty
yeah,
typical.
That's the color, the SRM rating. I can't remember what SRM stands for. It stands for, doesn't say. Oh, standard reference method. And it's the color that they use this for beer. So
nice.
2 being a pale straw and 40 being a black. So I don't know that, it doesn't look like they list the SRM on the Rogue website. It's one thing that they don't list. But based on this, I would say it's probably an SRM of about 30, which is a deep brown, not quite black.
So jealous of those glasses.
that's the one thing that's not kind of an everyman part. Well, that and the Glencairn glass, I guess, is not kind of your standard thing. But
just to break in there, for the whiskey drinkers out there, get yourself a couple of Glencairns. They're super cheap. You can get them on Amazon. I think they're like $7 or $8 a piece. And, they'll enhance your whiskey or bourbon experience for sure.
Yeah, and you kind of have to stick your pinky up in the air when you drink because they're not that big. So you look – I don't know if that makes you look cool or not, but whatever.
Don't judge.
So like I said earlier, I'm going with the Rogue Chocolate Stout. I'm not sure. I know we've featured Rogue on here times. I'm not sure if we featured this particular beer or not.
I love it. It's great.
Yeah, this is really good. I actually have one of their double chocolates, but that's a – 750 milliliter bottle that I just didn't feel like cracking open.
Yeah,
but,
no kidding.
Rogue has been around for, it looks like they started their brew pub in 1988, so they've been around for a while. And they do spirits, they do sodas, they do ciders, they do all kinds of stuff. To talk about the chocolate stout, it's an American stout, and they recommend that you pair it with beef or dessert, which I guess we're kind of...
It's kind of dessert-y.
Kind of dessert, yeah.
Yeah.
Tasting notes, it's ebony in color with a rich creamy head, which,
creamy.
I mean, as you guys can see, it's definitely, it's got that rich creamy head, some nice lacing on there too, kind of holds on really well to the side of the glass there. Let's see. Earthy flavor of oats and hops that gives way to rich chocolate truffle finish. It has 11 ingredients. They've got a handful of malts here, 2 Rows, C120, Chocolate, and Rogue Farms Dare and Risk malts. So that's a lot of malts. Rogue Farms Rebel Hops, Rolled Oats, Roasted Barley, Chocolate, Free Range, Coastal Water, and Pac-Man Yeast.
Pac-Man.
Yeah, I do like a Pac-Man Yeast. Let's see. It is 5.8 ABV, 69 IBUs. What is AA?
Ah, shoot.
77 AA. I think that's one that we haven't really talked about, is the AA. I have to look that up. That's all stuff I should know, given that I'm a master brewer now, after having brewed one batch. You see that I tried to sell Pete on Tatuaje craft beer, and I'd come down and be his master brewer.
Dog, you were all over that. I was actually expecting, I was half expecting you guys to toss out a sharing our pairings invite, just get them on the show, do some wine pairings. But
that's a good idea.
It's, I mean, Logan chased Pete for like, what, 2 years to get him on the show? I mean, super happy. He's such a cool, approachable dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we played that up a little bit. Not once did he ever say, hey, no, I don't want to do your show. It wasn't like that. It was
He's,
you know,
he's a dude.
You can, we were talking about travel miles offline before we got on the show, and he is on a plane a lot. Like, a lot. He's not easy to get in one spot. So it just so happened that the stars aligned, or whatever you want to say, to finally get that to happen. But I'm really glad that it did, and hopefully, he was eager to hang out. The show was almost 2 hours. So, and it was, you know, I kind of had to end it at one point because it's like, okay, I got people in the chat room saying that the batteries were dying on their computers. So we had to end it at some point. But anyway, I'm going to get into this Rogue Chocolate Stout and see how this pairing pairing fares. How's yours working out?
So I'm going to talk a little bit about this beer pairing, and this is actually remarkably good because I'm glad I didn't go with a stout. I feel like a stout probably would have run this cigar over. I do love a good brown ale. There's that nice nuttiness. This is a little bit more rich than what I'm used to in a brown ale. I think the coffee definitely elevates it, and the hops they've chosen are really interesting because instead of finishing with that sort of nuttiness that I'm used to with a brown ale, you get a little bit of that fresh hoppy, and hoppy is a little funky to be pairing with this tobacco. So I wouldn't say it would be my favorite pairing in the world, but it moves me out of my comfort zone, and that's, you know, part of the fun of sharing our pairings and part of the fun of pairing, I think.
So this actually elevates the beer a lot, if that makes sense. Yeah, I didn't really expect it. And frankly, we've talked about the Rogue Chocolate Stout. And for me, when I jump into any kind of sweet stout, I want it to be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And not to the point where it's like, oh, God, I can only have so much of it. But I want that chocolate. If I'm going for a vanilla bean porter, I want that vanilla. I want to taste it.
Yeah, don't wave the vanilla beans over top of it. Dunk those babies in there.
Yeah, I really want that flavor. And if, like, when I've talked about Young's double chocolate stout in the past, and I know we've done that on a show, it's a good stout. It's a London stout.
It's a very London stout.
Yeah,
which is just so light.
Yeah, and it's got some body to it, but the double chocolate moniker is very misleading. Because I think
make it quadruple chocolate. It's not enough chocolate for me.
Yeah, it's good, and I enjoy it, and I'll still, I mean, for the price especially, but I'll still seek that out, and some days I'll want that. But for the most part, when I'm grabbing a chocolate stout, I want to taste that chocolate. And I kind of felt that the Rogue Chocolate Stout, the first few times I had it, was a bit of a letdown in that department if you're expecting it to be really sweet or really chocolatey. But the cigar is bringing out a lot of that chocolate note, and it really has elevated it. Now, this has also been sitting in my fridge for about a year. But I don't think that the chocolate's going to get more pronounced over a year. Maybe it would.
No, I feel like it would get more subtle. Yeah.
I mean, I know you
should give way.
I know you lose. You're going to lose vanilla, especially the. I forget who I was talking to, but if vanilla bean is used, that's going to within like 2 years that'll be gone. If it's a vanilla extract that lasts a little bit longer because it's synthetic, but a vanilla bean, you're going to lose that. Coffee, you're going to lose that flavor. I haven't really had anybody tell me that you'll lose the chocolate, and I don't imagine that, but I don't think it would get any stronger. So it is a little bit weird that it's much more chocolate forward than I remember. It is running over the cigar a little bit, but I'm getting some more spicy notes out of it, and it's enjoyable. I'm not mad about it, but it doesn't feel right, if that makes sense.
Circling back on your question about what AA is, AA is apparent attenuation. And I don't think we've had this term on any of our beer shows, which is quite surprising. They say, and this is on howtobrew.com, this term is usually given as a percentage to describe the percent of malt sugar that is converted by the yeast strain to ethanol and CO2. So that's kind of interesting. Most yeast strains attenuate in the range of 65 to 80%. Okay, I get it. So what they're saying is it's a measure of how much of that yeast is stopping to convert over into sugar. So they say more specifically, this range is the apparent attenuation is determined by comparing the original gravity and final gravities of the beer. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's almost to break it down like to the barest of the basic of levels. It's almost telling you how effective the yeast was at doing its job.
Which, I mean, is really ultimately going to determine how sweet that beer is, because the less sugars that it converts over to ethanol, the sweeter the beer is going to be, and obviously the less boozy the beer is going to be.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to determine exactly how sweet it is and the ABV.
So you caught me just as I took a nice mouthful. We don't usually do that. We're usually pretty good about our timing. We've done so many of these shows. It's a very funky double coffee brown ale. It you know, you see a brown ale and you're like, yeah, you know, brown ale, pretty easy drinking. It's way more complex than a typical brown ale for me. I think the hops really elevate the complexity. Maybe not the best, because I think hoppiness is just the wrong way to go with a cigar. I get a lot of lingering bitter hoppiness, and that might be that Cascade hop. Not really the right way to go. I went with the brown ale because I was worried about running out of the cigar, and now I kind of wish I had cracked one of them delicious coffee stouts.
Whoops. Yeah, it's the more that I sip on this, the more I'm kind of digging it. It's this chocolate stout all of a sudden is really good. It's super smooth, and man, when was this bottled? Does it say on here? I'm curious now. I don't think I have a bottle.
I know with a lot of whiskey companies, they have a code on the side of the back that tells you when it was brewed or when it.
Yeah, they have. I figured out I translated the code that's on the bottle of Pappy that I got.
Nice.
And it's the kind of thing that if you're looking at it, you're not going to make any sense out of it unless you have your decoder ring.
82N8310652. It's like, no, yeah, I don't. Yeah. What is that?
No, but it's interesting though. From that particular code that's on that bottle, and this is the only time I've ever really researched that. But it tells you the day it was bottled, the time it was bottled, the row that it came out of. Wow. So I could go back to find out exactly who bottled it. It's pretty interesting.
Pappy doesn't mess around.
Yeah, they don't screw around. It's funny, man. This is 10 times better than the last time I had this chocolate stout. And wow. I have a feeling that if I went out and bought a new one right now and tasted it, it wouldn't taste the same as this. But I don't know if it's the fact that it was aged for a year or the cigar, but it's super smooth. It's got a nice texture to it. Hmm. It's very chocolate forward. I'm not getting much else. I mean, there's not those typical stout type flavors in there, and I think it's just because the cigar really isn't allowing a lot of that to come forth.
Yeah.
But it's bringing out some nice characteristics in the cigar as well. The sweetness in the cigar kind of goes away because it's elevated or they're canceling each other out. Maybe, I'm not sure, but the sweetness is definitely elevated in the stout. And the spicy characteristics from the Tabaco Especial are coming out. So it's getting better.
So this is almost certainly the best brown ale, I think, or one of the top five brown ales I've ever tasted.
I think. You haven't had the brown ale that I just bottled, my friend.
No, that's true. And maybe when we're down in Vegas, we can do some spirit swaps and some beer swaps. Things are going to get a little funky as we talk a little bit about our IPCPR coverage coming up in the coming months. We'll reveal a little bit more about what we're doing down there. But we're going to have a little bit more free time to get funky in Vegas. We're going to do some interesting stuff. We're going to have some chance to talk to people in the evening instead of slaving away in the hotel till 3 in the morning, wandering the streets of New Orleans at 2 in the morning trying to find some beer. That was fun. We didn't get stabbed, so that was good. There's no stabbing.
I was like, every time we turned down a street that was a little bit sketchy looking, John would say, let me tell you about the time that Rob and John got stabbed.
Yeah, this is the great story about the time that Rob and John got stabbed in New Orleans. Yeah,
it's funny, there was one street, and I don't know if we were in like the warehouse district or what, but it was sketch mode. And, and neither one of us said it, but we both kind of picked up our pace a little bit. And as we were going down, it's funny, like on the other side of the street, there was a bottle shop that had an area outside that had like all kinds of Christmas lights and stuff up. I really wanted to go to, but we were heading somewhere else. We never got back to go back around there. And I think there was a distillery over there too, a storefront for a distillery. So it was pretty cool. You never know what you're going to find. Just because it's a industrial type neighborhood doesn't mean you're not going to find something cool.
No. So appreciate everyone tuning in to Sharing Our Pairings episode 57. Again, apologies, we had to pre-record, but you know, it's tough to do. We're going to be doing our live cigar chat show from Nicaragua. And as scheduling goes, it'd be really tough to make a pairing show work down in Nicaragua. We'd maybe like to do it in the future, but you know, just to be safe, we want to deliver you guys quality content. So appreciate all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners out there. Quick hits, Rob, favorite pairing of the night?
I would have to go... Well, I don't know. I'm coming around on the beer. The bourbon and the beer, I think I could just say that they both work.
Yeah.
Coffee's too easy, so yeah.
Coffee's too easy. I agree. The Nika Coffee Malt Whiskey was surprisingly good. In fact, surpassed what I possibly could have appreciated out there. I'm going to say that's my favorite of the night, too. As we say on the show, and appreciate you guys tuning in, make sure to check out our event schedule. Drink better, but drink less. So, yeah, talking about New Orleans shit, we were... there were a couple times we turned down an alley, and I think I made the comment as like, this looks like the set of something off of CSI, like, you know, like I feel like some guy got stabbed or run over by a car or some shit. There's a couple alleys like that, but you know, we really, you commented that we had a homeless guy come up to us and ask for money, and I think you were like, nah, man, sorry, we don't have any cash, and he was like, yeah, sorry to bug you, and we're like, did that guy just apologize? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool town, and we talked about it. And Vegas is very different.
Yeah.
and when you're cruising around in Vegas at 3 a.m, there's no shortage of people on the street.
No.
And you can find all manner of sin is mm-hmm. easily accessible, if you will. but it's going to be interesting this year. I'm looking forward to it. From the standpoint of, I feel like we finally have maybe a game plan, yeah. And we've learned from our previous shows, and we're going into this one, and I feel like I have a little bit more of an idea of what to expect.
Well, I think the biggest issue is that, and this sounds probably a little cheesy, but we're not, you know, Robbie and I have daytime gigs, like we have jobs, we're, you know, we work for a living, so it's kind of like this is a really terrible analogy, but it's almost like the reserves, you know, somebody serves in the reserves, those dudes have a daytime job, this is not their full-time gig, and for us, Cigar Federation is not our full-time gig. So the thing is, it's a huge passion for us, and you know, we don't want to get away delivering half-assed content. So, you know, I talk about and I whined about, you know, being up till 2 a.m. delivering videos, but I want to do that. I don't want to deliver, and I know Robbie doesn't want to deliver half-assed content. We want to make sure that, like we say, best-in-class content covering the IPCPR. That's our goal.
Yeah, and just to kind of expand on what I was saying, I mean, this will be my fourth show, third for you.
Yeah.
And what I mean by, I feel like we have an expectation of a good expectation of what we're capable of. In the sense that we did the show in Vegas the first year that we had you doing camera and stuff, and the camera work was great. Everything looked good, but our audio kind of sucked.
Oh, it's janky.
So we addressed that problem last year, and our everything about our video was awesome. We had great it was great audio, great video, great guests. All that was great. So I think the difference is going from Vegas to New Orleans. While we were prepared, I wasn't necessarily, I didn't know the lay of the land.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
The venues are so different.
Yeah.
I mean, Vegas is a big square. It's a big box, right? Mm-hmm. But New Orleans is like, it's just a big rectangle, super long, not so deep, but crazy long, so it's a lot of back and forth, and it's amazing how much that can impact your entire day. And if you don't have things planned out right, then you know there's a lot of running around. But we've got everything tight as far as video is concerned, so we've got all the equipment. We're going back to a venue that we're familiar with because we've both been there before, and I think we're just going to knock it out this year. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, what did we figure out and we were talking about it throughout the show, but what was the venue length? It was like 1.4 miles or some shit.
It was crazy. The building we were in had the longest hallway in the world. Or one of the longest hallways mm-hmm. in the world. Because it was just a huge, huge venue.
And we were walking from one end to the other like 3 or 4 times a friggin' day. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's go talk to so-and-so. Yeah, they're right over here, but it turns out they're a mile. That way. And by the time you're like, oh shit, now you're halfway there, so you may as well go. So, I mean, I'm making it sound like we don't know what the fuck we're doing. And I don't mean it like that. I just mean everything that we've learned from these last two shows from a technical standpoint, I think is really going to pay off this year when we're going back to a venue that we're familiar with. And I just feel really good about it.
I think one of the things, and this has really become the IPCPR After Dark show now.
Yeah, but, I don't know. It's like 5 months away.
Yeah, but well, I already had a sit down with my boss about where my next 4 months is and talking about July and talking about any interactions. I already had a conflict scheduling with a girlfriend for a show we're supposed to go to in July. Like, that's how far we have to plan this stuff. And then I had a third conflict with my family reunion where they're like, hey, you know, come down for family camping. It's on the week of July 22nd. And I'm like, dog, I'm in Vegas. Like, that shit is locked down 12 months in advance. Like, as soon as the IPCPR organization lists those dates, that's locked on the calendar. That's not moving.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I'm sure there's things that could move it, but luckily none of those things have happened.
Yeah.
Knock on something. But, you know, I mean, whatever. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but we've got a lot of cool stuff coming up on this particular show before then. And I know we've got a lot of cool stuff. I'm looking forward to next week's cigar chat with Alec Bradley. Casey is one of the reps. He's the West Coast rep, I believe, for Alec Bradley. And he's a lot of fun, man. Chatted with him a couple of times, and we need to have the dropout button. Beep. We need to have the beep ready.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need to have the beep ready. But
dear Google, please make a beep out button available and a bit of a delay, because, you know, I don't mind doing the audio work, but, man, that would make life so much easier for all parties.
If we could just have it, yeah, just have it and be ready. It's going to be a good show, and then we've got some other good shows coming up. I'm really looking forward to the Casada Keg show.
Yep.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Because I've cheated and already paired, and it was really good, so I'm excited.
Coming up March 2nd with Terrence Riley. You don't want to miss that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
And we just locked down Tony Bellotto for May the 18th. Now, that's way in the future, so things can change. You know, it's tough for us to juggle with industry people because they have a lot of commitments, and, you know, we appreciate them taking the time out of their time to be in the show, so things can change. But I had Tony on last year, and it's so weird how some of this stuff works out. You weren't able to attend that show because you had to be at the park, mm-hmm. and I was sitting in the rain, and Tony and I did wine pairing. But it was he's so knowledgeable, such a knowledgeable guy.
Yeah, he when it comes to when it comes to wine, he knows what he's talking about. But he knows what he's talking about with cigars too. He makes some pretty good stuff. That La Barba Purple is a good smoke.
Forget about it.
The red one, which I still have one. I still have one left, but they don't make those anymore. he's got some interesting stuff. Now, I'm hoping that I'll be there for that show, but I think we're kind of scheduling around baseball this year. I don't think I have too many weekday day. Well, that's on Thursdays. So anyway, hopefully we're able to plan around that schedule, because it can get to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I tried to do my best to make sure that both you and I could be on with the guest shows, because I think, you know, having done 56 shows, 57 shows now, you know, I think we've got the show format nailed down, tooting our own horns. And what for me, one of the fun parts is having a guest on the show when two of us are on the show, because I feel like, you know, we do a pairing show with a guest. I mean, we could do 2 hours. And we could just sit down and do 2 hours, and it's easy. Like, we can crack it out, no problem. And that's a lot of the fun in the show for me.
Yeah, it's good. I like the direction that the show's taken. The feedback that we're getting, you know, from the audience is good. And like I said, or like John said, hit us up on iTunes, man, for the podcast listeners. We know you guys are out there. Give us a vote. Give us some feedback, good or bad. What can we work on? What can we do better? Do you want John to shave his beard, like stuff like that?
Whoa.
I tell you, I had a dream that I shaved my beard off.
Mm-mm.
And like, I don't know that I'll ever shave my beard off at this point.
Wow.
But I had this dream that I shaved it off, and I don't know, like I had like it like my face was like really like chiseled once I shaved it off. Like I had really defined cheekbones and like a model type face, and nobody noticed. Nobody noticed that the beard was gone or that I was, like, severely more handsome than I was before.
Wow.
It was very strange. It was a strange dream.
I feel like for me, I don't know if the beard is going to last for a long time or not, but I feel like it's going to be, you know, the sort of cliche moment in a TV show or a movie where the girl kind of goes into the bathroom and in a fit of empowerment just cuts her hair off, like she takes a scissors and just starts hacking away at her long hair. I feel like that's how it's going to go down for my beard. One day I'm just going to go in the bathroom and I'm just going to say fuck it, and I'm just going to cut the entire beard off, and I'm going to show up on the show without any warning. Everyone's going to be like, whoa.
No one's going to notice. That's the thing. No one will notice.
Wow. I'd be shocked if no one noticed.
No, of course. I mean, yeah, you come notice. On. If I showed up with a naked face, it would be just really, really strange.
It'd be a little weird. I haven't seen your beardless face in a long time.
It's funny. I look, but they did that thing on Facebook the other day. It was like Friends Day or whatever.
Mm.
And so all these old pictures popped up, and I was like, oh shit, I used to not have a beard.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking back on those. So it was for our audience who probably don't give a shit, it was exactly this time last year. I was down in Nicaragua. So the whole reason this, and I don't think I've talked about this, the whole reason the beard came about, first of all, I've never been able to grow facial hair in my life. The most I could ever muster was an Amish beard that looked terrible. It was just awful. And I was down in Nicaragua. I brought all my, you know, super fancy shaving gear. And we were like 2 days in. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't feel like shaving. And I just came back with a beard. Now, it wasn't a great beard. But I came back from Nicaragua with a beard. And like you said, I was looking at the Friends video. And I was like, holy shit. Who is that baby-faced guy? Like, I was just like, dude, your face changes significantly with a beard and without, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm mine was a World Series beard, so I've had it for a year and a half, I guess. I stopped shaving and cutting my hair right around the same time. And this was like October of 2014. So maybe it was earlier than that. It might have been September. Who knows when the last time I got a haircut was. And I'm not taking the hat off to let you guys see.
But I would never ask.
It's getting pretty epic.
when is the cut day of that?
It's got to be 8-inch ponytails, man. So,
do you know where you're at?
Well, if I were to shave my head completely bald, it's like 7.5 inches.
So,
which that's not going to happen.
It's like I think it's I'm thinking in centimeters. So it's got to be like an inch every month and a half. Then
it's something like I think you're. No, I don't even think it's that. I don't even think it grows that long.
Wow.
I didn't have a shaved head when I started. Mm. I can't remember what it is. It's like 1 or 2 centimeters a month, something like that.
Yeah. So that's what I was thinking.
It's a really slow. Yeah. I have no idea how many centimeters are in an inch.
So let me ask you this, because we're fast forwarding here. Number one, do you think you're going to cry when you get your hair cut?
No.
Number two, do you think you're going to go crazy and get, like, the Picard?
No.
No?
No.
No.
Okay, now, here's why. You're to say that, since you used Picard as an example,
you gotta use the Picard.
I'm going to assume that you're a little bit of a sci-fi guy. Now, do you remember the show Alien Nation?
Oh, brother, absolutely. That was so cheesy and so fun.
Oh, it's cheesy. But do you remember their heads?
Yeah, huge bulbous heads.
That's how I would look if Daddy shaved his head. It's whoop, like the shape of my dome is all kinds of fucked up.
See, you know what's funny about that is I have a ludicrously small dome. Like I have a child-sized dome.
You do
dome.
Have a really small
dome. It's
head.
So fucked up. I have no idea why. But like every time I've gone for a cool ball cap or an NFL cap, I'm like, dude, these caps, this brim is like half the size of my face sticking. It just looks stupid. I look like an idiot. But I try on a child size cap, like the largest child size cap. It fits perfectly. So, you know, if you want to send me a cap, send me a child size cap. But I know, number one, I maimed my head something fierce as a kid. Like I have notches and gouges and just all kinds of nasty stuff going on in my scalp. And number two, I think I'd be in the same category where even though I got a small head, it would be all kinds of like Tatawahe monster, fucked up, bulbous, children crying, women screaming, badness. So I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I did. I made the mistake of shaving my head once. And, well, I didn't go, like, bald, but, you know, when you shave, like, a...
like a crew cut or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was bad times. It looked okay when, like, the barber did it, because she did, like... it was different guards for, like, the back, and then, like, there was a little bit longer on the top, but you couldn't really tell. And it was, it just looked more uniform. And then I had a friend do it once, just figuring it's easy, you're just shaving your head. But no, it was bad, man. It's not a good thing. So no, it's going to have to be, my hair's going to have to be like 10 inches wow. long before I do the 8-inch ponytail. Yeah. So it's,
wow.
it's
that's at like least, summertime.
Yeah. It might even get all the way through next winter. I might just hang on to it for the full year. That way, when I do cut it, I still have some left.
So quickly before we sign off, little anecdotal story. The last time the girlfriend and I went down to Orlando, I got a haircut before I went down, and I got it like a crew cut because I can actually do a crew cut. I find it very comfortable, and there's still enough hair on my head that it doesn't look weird. And the widow's peak hasn't quite receded all the way back. My hair definitely belies my age, even though the color doesn't. The hair is belying my age. So I had like this crew cut. And we went to get our rental car or whatever, our pickup. And the guy says to me, military discount. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, you're active military. I'm like, no, doc, I'm not active military. He's like, oh, well, I mean, you're retired military, right? And I'm like, your girlfriend's looking at me like, what the fuck is he on about? And I'm like, I looked at her and I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's like a combination of the crew cut. I had like my photo backpack, which is kind of like it kind of looks like a rucksack. Had the guns on display, so to speak.
Wow.
So I was like, you know, maybe I was giving off this, and I was probably because I was super cranky from the flight. Maybe I was giving off like this super serious military vibe, but it was such a bizarre experience. I was like, I've never in my life had anyone think I was active or ex-military. Ever. Not even close.
You were looking like a badass that day, man.
Apparently I was looking like a cranky, bitchy badass.
You were looking like a badass. I've never had anything like that. The closest thing, like the weirdest thing anyone's ever asked me as far as appearance, I had one person ask me if I was Jordanian. That was...
like Jordanian?
Yeah.
Was this after like a week in Mexico or some shit? Because bro, I'm white. I'm... the poster child for white boy, but like
I'm not too far along. No, yeah. That was the weirdest one.
Wow.
Has asked me if I was Jordanian. And I do remember it was a beer event, oddly enough, but this was God, like 10 years ago. And I was there with a buddy. Now it couldn't have been 10 years ago, but it was a while ago. It was single Rob days. And, I had like the dark sunglasses on, and there was a group of girls that thought I was the guy from Linkin Park.
Oh, okay, I could see that.
And we just I just didn't say anything, and we just kind of played that I was. But I don't know. I just kind of went with it, but I didn't really talk much, and I played the tortured artist role.
This is why people should not be doing lineups and picking people from lineups, because the average person has no fucking idea what another human being looks like. It's ridiculous.
And it's funny when people ID me now, it's like I don't look like anything like my ID anymore.
Mm. You know, it's so – before we wrap up.
Yeah. It's the longest rant show ever,
but you know what? It's our show. We can do whatever we want. If you're still tuned in, we certainly appreciate it, but So to me, like I look at my pre-beard days and my post-beard days, and it's like I kind of look like that, but like that's like my brother. Like my face shape has changed dramatically, but the number of times I've gone through security, because I travel a lot, especially for SIGFED, no one even bats an eye. They look at my ID and they go, "Yeah, okay," and I'm like, "What do you mean, yeah, okay?" Like that's not like, dude, that's not even close. Like. Yeah, my forehead's the same and my eyes are the same, but my face shape isn't even close. What are you talking about? No one questions. No bouncers have questioned it. No border agents have questioned it. No one. They just go, yeah, okay. So
that's funny.
Anyways, this has been a fun show. I enjoy this. I enjoy this. I'm still smoking my tobacco special. It's good. I'm looking forward to smoking this in Nicaragua, brother. I'm from the heart. super sad you can't be there. I'm hoping that we can make that happen in the future. But we've always got Vegas, IPCPR. We know we're going to have a good time. Logan's going to be a cranky bitch, as he always is. You have to be there. It's always funny. He picks on one of us. He likes to push buttons. It'll be fun.
We got off to a rough start last year.
Off to a rough start. And again, we're still going here. So for those who aren't aware, I'm a pretty even keel guy. Rob is a super even keel guy. I mean, you absolutely exude laid back California, whatever. And Logan was just fucking pushing your buttons. And I turned to Jared at one point and I'm like, I think Rob might actually swing on Logan here. So if you can just be ready to separate these two, because, you know, Logan likes to push buttons. It's just how he is. That's how he's built. It's funny, but not when you're the target of the button pushing.
There's no way I'd ever swing him. Logan would beat my ass. He's twice my size.
He's a big boy.
I have this problem when I'm right and someone else is wrong, and they keep going and trying to tell me new ways about how they're right,
yeah,
and just even proving more so that they're wrong. Yeah. And I remember when you guys were even telling me to calm down until I explained to you what was actually happening. And you're like,
I knew you were in the right. You were 100% in the right.
Yeah, and that's the part that bothers me. And then you try to walk away.
Yeah.
And just like, okay, it's fine. Just leave me alone. And he won't.
IPCPR is a fun time because you got four guys in close proximity, and like we're spending more time together than I spend with my fucking girlfriend. This was the first day. Yeah. And like
it was that first morning.
Yep.
I mean, at that point I was like, man, I might just get through one day. I might just fucking leave.
I think what's going to be nice about this IPCPR circling back is that we're not going to be up really late. We're not going to be super tired because we're going to have the show, but we're going to have a chance to go out and have dinner like normal human beings, have some drinks, talk to our good friends in the industry, and chill the fuck out, recharge, and have a fresh day. And I think it's going to have a really positive impact on the amount of energy we're bringing out to the floor.
I would agree with that. And I want to not have breakfast at the exact same spot every day.
But we got to hit that spot.
Yeah, I mean, maybe once or twice, but let's mix something else in too. Anyway, let's wrap it up. People stopped listening like 45 minutes ago.
That's fair. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks for all of the people that stuck in for the 2 hours of our gong show here. You guys are loyal listeners, and this is why we do the show, for your entertainment. We appreciate you tuning in. Make sure to check in next week or last week. Now I'm all backwards. So next week. No, okay, now I got it all backwards. So next week we're going to have, as of the airing of the show, this is like living in Australia. Next show is going to be the Casada Keg. I'm going to come back. We're going to do Casada Keg with Terrence. It's going to be fucking awesome. So you can't miss that show. Make sure to tune in for the Casada Keg show on March the 2nd. Boom. So make sure to drink better, but drink less.